going, through occasional bouts of lightheadedness, to making me want to kill someone. Then I hear the low whine of the van's engine and step out as it parks, pulling my small wheeled case behind me, ready to muscle my way to the front when it opens its back doors. Everyone in the loitering crowd has their public profile set to private, as do I. I recognize some of them from other markets. There's the man with the tiny dog that bites anyone who goes near, the little shit. There's the woman with the umbrella that's almost had my eye out several times, and she knows she's doing it deliberately, but has no fucks to give for a rival consumer. There's the old dear, who looks like she could be the sweetest grandma straight out of a department store Christmas Mercive advert, but I know she's just as willing to grind her boot heels into someone else's toes if they push too much from the back. The driver gets out, moves to the side of the van and slides the door across just enough to pull out the folding table whilst his passenger jumps out and scans the street. They've just made a delivery to a supermarket down the road. One that's, like all of them, too expensive for most people to shop in. It has aisles filled with perfect vegetables and a counter with the freshest meat. Actual, real meat cut from real animals. All sparkling and brightly lit. I only know because of the Mercive adverts that weasel their way in every few months or so, before Tia closes the loophole they've exploited to get to me. Cooking with real, fresh food is the province of the rich. Rich enough to buy it, or rich enough to have the space for dirt to grow it, or rich enough to hire space and equipment to have other people grow it just for you. This impromptu market is a testament to mankind's ability to exploit every possible consumer niche. The driver has come from a wholesaler who has realized that there are people willing to pay good money for the stock that the supermarkets won't take. So all the rejects get put into boxes and loaded onto the last delivery of the day to be sold in a backstreet that smells of piss and misery, filled with people who are doing well enough to spend money on food items considered luxury, but not quite well enough to afford to do it in a nice building with beautiful staff and real champagne given at the door. I'm not doing well enough to have the money to do this. I've made greater sacrifices to get this food. I doubt any of the others have given up years of freedom to be able to buy a few misshapen vegetables every week. I frown to myself, trying to stop thinking that way. I try to reframe it, the way Dee would. "It was a shitty choice," she'd say. "But at least it was one you got to make for yourself." It doesn't have the same effect when she's not here with me. No matter how much I try to spin it into something else, it doesn't alter the sheer injustice of it all. But as much as I want it to, my sacrifice doesn't give me a place at the front of the jostling throng that is slowly, reluctantly morphing into a queue. In moments, I find myself behind the old woman and take care where I'm putting my feet. The man with the dog is further back, his irritation expressed perfectly by the tiny, vicious snarling of the overgrown rat in his arms. There's a sharp, painful tap on the top of my head, and I twist to see the woman with the umbrella.
"So sorry,"
she says with a fake smile. "It's not raining," I say through gritted teeth.
"Oh, has it stopped?"
She pretends not to have noticed and still doesn't fold the damn thing away. There's a slight narrowing of her eyes as she stares at me and I face front again, worrying that she's thinking she's seen me somewhere before. I turn my collar up as if against the wind, but it's more to cover as much of my face as possible. Crates of produce have been hauled out of the van and the driver has cranked one open already. He scoops out a few carrots, all huge, malformed things, looking like fetishes from some ancient magical ritual. He holds one up for the crowd, who laugh when they see how much it looks like a man running with its split root and arm-like offshoots. Turnips are dumped next to them, then onions. It's like the universe knew I wanted to cook a casserole.
"No need to push," the driver calls. "Plenty for sale tonight. Cooking apples too when this donut," he jerks a thumb at his assistant, "digs 'em out for you."
Tia informs me that the seller's APA has made contact.